7. As always, you're at least two things at once. That the doctor chooses to say nothing about his most recent excursion is highly suspicious. There are very few reasons he might have chosen this course of actions, and all of them are too interesting to ask the doctor about outright. So the master inquires about other matters, how Mickey Smith is settling down, and whether the doctor has fixed the heating in the third floor billiard room yet, and pretends not to notice the expression of absolute misery which appears on the doctor's face 5 times during the first hour they spend together that evening. They make love slowly that night. The doctor gasps and whimpers his appreciation and leaves pleased smile impressions on the master's arms with his nails. But the master has spent his lives watching the doctor, so he knows that although the doctor is certainly enjoying himself, there is something else very definitely on his mind. Afterwards, he accepts one of the doctor's traditional post-coital jelly babies and lets him turn on the Three Musketeers. The 2169 version, fortunately, anything else would have had to have been interpreted as slight. After 30 minutes of ridiculous hats and swashbuckling, the doctor had cheered up to the extent that he is quoting all of D'Artagnan's lines a beat before the man can say them himself. Over the last year, the master has had several friendly arguments with his partner about the purpose of watching a film if the doctor insists on ruining it in this fashion. When he excuses himself halfway through, he does so confident that this will not in any way be deemed unusual. Down in the study he has finally began to think of as his, he backtracks through the security footage until he reaches... Down in the study he has finally begun to think of as his, he backtracks through the security footage until he reaches Rose and Mr. Smith at the beginning of their TARDIS tour. Console room, wardrobe gallery, kitchens, fencing hall. The young man does his best, nodding with interest and asking leading questions when Rose waves vaguely at a room, giving its name and little else, but it is still painfully stilted. Down in the study he has finally begun to think of as his, he backtracks through the security footage until he reaches Rose and Mr. Smith at the beginning of their TARDIS tour. Console room, wardrobe gallery, kitchens, fencing hall. The young man does his best, nodding with interest and asking leading questions when Rose waves vaguely at a room, giving its name and little else, but it is still a painfully stilted experience. In the last year, the master has spent considerable time watching Rose Tyler, who is so often with the doctor, and there is something wrong with her as well, just as he expected. Unfortunately, there is no way to judge at what point in the tour the clue to the doctor's behaviour will emerge, so the master pulls his dressing gown more closely around himself and settles down to wait. He likes Rose far less now than he did before the doctor's most recent regeneration. As is perhaps only natural, the very event that gained his respect has turned her from an attractive toy into a potential threat. She doesn't even remember feeling the turn of the world and the past and the future and the doctor's very thoughts thrum inside her mind, but the doctor does. With this new regeneration, he's picked up her accent and several of her gestures. In return, Rose, who used to make eyes at that dreadful Adam Mitchell, or the doctor and Captain Harkness and Mickey Smith while all three were in the same room, now looks only at the doctor's new smile. She quite definitely resented the arrival of Mr. Smith the night before and seems scarcely to be aware of his presence now. That is worrying. It may well be time to get rid of her, the master reflects as he watches the increasingly tedious footage. Then again, the doctor does need a companion and, short of arranging a tragic accident for the humans inside the TARDIS or suggesting to the doctor that he abandoned them inside the TARDIS or suggesting to the... It may well be time to get rid of her, the master reflects as he watches the increasingly tedious footage. Then again, the doctor does need a companion, and short of arranging a tragic accident for the humans inside the TARDIS, or suggesting to the doctor that he abandoned them somewhere, there's little he can do to arrange their departure. Besides, the doctor has clearly done something to upset her today, and that may well have put a dampener on their joyful frolicking. Impatiently, the master fast-forwards through the video until it looks like a the tour has paused in favour of discussion. He rewinds again and plays from the human's entrance in the Hall of Mirrors. The hall is an incredibly vulgar room, one the master has appealed to the doctor to dispose of on numerous occasions. Perhaps it is the sight of herself with enormous thighs that proves the final straw, but Rose begins to talk almost as soon as she steps into the amusement arcade. Suddenly, poor Mickey Smith is subjected to a series of questions about the doctor to which he cannot possibly know the answers. What was he thinking? Is it just me, or was that window broken, properly broken? Well, how did he get back? Did you hear the way she talked about him? Yeah, but why would he, though? Spying on me, master, the doctor says quietly from the doorway behind him. The master turns in his rotating chair, well aware that in other circumstances the doctor would find the James Bond villain illusion almost unbearably amusing. The master turns in his rotating chair, well aware that in other circumstances the doctor would find the James Bond villain illusion almost unbearably amusing. Now, though, he doesn't laugh, just leans against the door frame. He is beautiful today, in dark pyjama bottoms that are too big for him, his hair sex-mussed and flattened on one side, a mildly curious expression covering up whatever it is that he is really feeling at the moment. Beautiful and utterly infuriating. On Rose, but on you by extension, yes, the master says and smiles thinly, as always. If the doctor is attempting to claim the higher ground, he will be greatly disappointed. Spying is and has always been the most practical way of gaining information about the doctor's life. His own accounts of his misadventures are typically interesting and amusing, but so is a great deal of fiction. I understand, the master continues, keeping his voice pleasant, that you tried to leave me today. Yeah, the doctor says, as always, he adds with a small smile of his own. No, I was trying to save someone, he explains, pushing himself away from the doorframe and into an ambling walk over to the desk and the screen, which is still displaying Rose and Mickey, reflected in their distress in the hall of mirrors. The master turns the chair round to follow him. There is a flicker in his expression as he acknowledges the scene, and then the doctor turns the main power switch to off. As always, he adds, rather redundantly, as the image fades. Did you? No, the doctor says, still looking at the blank screen. She died. I saved her, kept saving her, but she still died in the end. He turns and seats himself on the edge of the desk, hands either side of him, gripping the desk's edge. The master regards him silently. So, the doctor says, what is it you want to know? It is tempting to lie and claim no further interest in the matter. Let the doctor imagine himself less important than he is. But it's possible the information will never be dropped casually into conversation anywhere on the ship. The master raises his chin as if there is a sword to his neck. Who was she? The doctor sighs. Renette Poisson, he says, clearly taking some pleasure in the French syllables, even as they remind him of his failure to save their owner. Madame de Pompadour, the master says, not quite managing to keep the sneer out of his voice. Well, doctor, I congratulate you. Yet again, you've managed to find someone my absolute opposite to run off with. That's a attempt to run off with, if anything, surely, the doctor says. Besides, he wrinkles his nose, what do you mean she's nothing like you? Though it's hardly the most important point, the master hisses. I should have thought the difference was obvious. One, a young, blonde, voluptuous French. Charming, ruthless, intelligent, predatory, ambitious, the doctor adds, pushing himself off the desk and sliding onto the master's lap. Very accomplished. Yeah, you're nothing alike. Am I supposed to be flattered by this comparison? Yes, the doctor grimaces comically. Aren't you? I would be. Have you seen her guns? They're stunning. And yet, he continues, stabbing the master's chest with the bony finger, I didn't run off with her, or even attempt to run off with her, thanks for that. I dropped in, briefly, to stop a gang of clockwork droids chopping her head off, then came back for tea, sex and musketeers. Not sex with musketeers, the finger against the master's chest begins a hand that... The finger against the master's chest becomes a hand that runs down beneath the folds of his dressing gown. Well, I have. Rose, the master says, stopping the hand before it passes his navel, seemed to think it very likely that you broke the link with the ship permanently when you... What was it? Rode a horse through the relevant time window, the doctor says. A horse. The doctor nods. She's right, I did break it. The window, not the horse. But, he says, trying to work his fingers free, fortunately, I had a plan. Did you? The master asks poisonly. Of course I did, the doctor scoffs. What do you think I am, an idiot? There were windows all over the ship. Before I broke the link, I popped into one about 2 years earlier and left myself a vortex manipulator buried in the grounds. Actually, his eyes flick to a point just to the left of the master's head. I should probably go and get that back at some point. Can't have a gardener digging a hole for a rhododendron bush, then whoops, history altered forever. He looks back at the master, raises his eyebrows, half mocking, half appealing. All right? It is sickeningly plausible. That probably means it isn't true, but the master nods slowly or anyway. It is sickeningly plausible. That probably means it isn't true, but the master nods slowly anyway. All right. When the doctor dips his head, the master consents to the kiss and the story. He is the one to open his mouth, the one to lean into the kiss. One of the doctor's hands wraps around his neck, the other one pulls open the tie of the master's robes. The master slides his own hand beneath the waistband of the doctor's pyjama bottoms over the thin curves of his arse. "Mmm," the doctor says, breaking away suddenly, his lips almost beginning to bruise. "I forgot, something else you've got in common. Ned was an excellent kisser." "Rassle on, you're incorrigible," the master growls, and hoisting the doctor up, dumps him unceremoniously on the desk, pulls his trousers free and proceeds to fuck him until he's quite sure he has the doctor's undivided attention.